Welcome to Career Tools. This week, keeping in touch with classmates. Here we go. Okay, the biggest mistake I made getting out of school was not staying in touch with my classmates.
Me too.
I'm sure that's true of like 99% of the people in the world. If we had a chance to do it all over again, we'd go back and we'd have stayed in touch with all of them.
Yeah.
My first client was a classmate who luckily remembered me well. Mm-hmm. We tell people this in our Building a Network class, notice we don't say networking because we don't like that word and nobody else does either, except the high eyes. But the place to start is in college, at university.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this and you haven't gone to college yet, before college.
Yeah, or before college.
Your school friends.
Develop the habit now of staying in touch with people by reaching out to them on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
And this cast goes through some specific guidance about how to do that, mm-hmm. particularly for university and college kids
Absolutely.
As they graduate.
As they're graduating right now.
Good. What's our outline?
So don't rely on Facebook.
Oh, yay.
Do use LinkedIn and do keep in touch personally.
Yes. Yeah, so let's talk about Facebook first. I just put a post out recently that said Facebook friend equals oxymoron. I was surprised it didn't get more uptake. I think it was because the social media people love Facebook.
Yeah.
My definition of a friend is someone who will help you move, but Facebook isn't really a way to stay in touch. At least that's what we've learned after a few years.
No, everyone probably went, oh, I'm golden. All my classmates are on Facebook.
Yes.
But Facebook's not a relationship. Just liking someone's status or commenting on a photo they took isn't a relationship. If somebody posts a cryptic message and you write underneath, it's okay, that's not, is everything okay? That's not a relationship. If you were having a real relationship, you were a real friendship with that person, you'd know why they were upset.
Yeah.
And that the boyfriend was a jerk and that, you know, she's really on the leave him track and maybe she's left him and all of that stuff. That's the depth of a friendship. And none of that is conveyed by Facebook.
When I was not on Facebook a while ago and I watched people engage with Facebook, it reminded me of the difference between a passive and an active foreign language vocabulary. Being able to listen to someone have a conversation and try to parse it a little bit, which is probably what I could do in German today, versus being able to actively translate and come up with a sentence on my own.
Yeah.
Being able to watch a professor do a problem on the board and go, oh, that makes sense, as opposed to having the chalk in your hand and doing it yourself. Knowing that things are happening to other people is not the same thing as being actively involved, or at least knowing what's going on enough that you could be helpful, or you are interested, or you can predict what's happening, or you know what's happening without looking.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's safe to say a relationship takes more than Facebook offers.
It takes more than liking someone's status or commenting on their photo. Even if they're going on vacation and you say, hey, have fun, bro. Like, that's not really, you don't know where they're going or who they're going with or what they want to do or what they want to get out of it. That's there's depth there. And right now, everybody who's in college has genuine relationships with their classmates, with their roommates, with their hall mates, whatever. And you know what's going on in their lives and what's important to them and what's stressing them out. You live with them day in, day out. You see them all all the time. And that's only going to decay because you're not going to carry on living with them in most cases. And you can't rely on Facebook to substitute for that day in, day out connection.
I remember the first time I had the revelation, which is dumb, but I had a revelation when I was starting my business that all relationships decay, that I would call someone that I had spoken to 6 months ago, but they didn't remember the conversation because they had many more conversations maybe than I did. And relationships are always in a state of decay. And I thought this was some great revelation, like, oh, Horseman, you're so smart. And then I realized, no, everything decays. Everything decays. And relationships are just one of many, many things that decays. And they're always in a state of decay. It's the nature of entropy in the world, in the universe. And if you don't work at maintaining it, if you're looking at somebody's Facebook page, that's not work at maintaining a relationship. So whatever you had at the beginning, which is just a like or you know, becoming friends on Facebook, you started off with almost nothing. And then over time, that declines to nothing. But now, while kids are in school, while they're in university, while they're in college, they have genuine relationships with their fraternity or sorority mates or their housemates or the people in the same school as them or the same major as them or the same clubs as them. Mm-hmm. They know who they are. They know what they're going through. They know to ask about when they're going on spring break, where they're going, and those kinds of things. And if you start from that, that strength of relationship, an 80 out of 100 rather than a 10,
yeah.
which is what a Facebook like or friendship is, you're much better off. It's still going to decay, but...
Yeah, but it might go down to 50 rather yeah. than minus 30. Yeah.
And everybody else is going to go down to minus 30 because they're not going to work on this. Mm-hmm. And you can literally... This is a great example of the Manager Tools and Career Tools philosophy of, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed person is king or queen. Because nobody else is going to do this. Everybody else is going to say, oh, Facebook will take care of it. Or, oh, I can look at their page on LinkedIn and I can understand who they are and so on. But that's not a relationship. And as I said before, the definition of a friend is somebody who will help you move. That's because you ask them for a favor and they say yes. Mm-hmm. And Wendy and I are sitting here thinking about all the people who tried to generate enthusiasm about a job search that needed to happen on short notice because of a layoff or a firing or the industry downturn of 2008 or whatever the case might be, and they had a cold network and it did not work because things decay and they started at low levels and then they didn't maintain them and they wonder why people won't do favors. Well, if you ask a Facebook friend, will you come help me move? They'll say no. I don't live near you. I don't even know who you are. I'm not going to give you a weekend of my life to help you move. By the same token, I'm not going to put your resume in front of my boss if I don't know you well, if I don't trust you, if you don't talk to me on a regular basis, we're not friends. And so you have to start in college capturing information and working at staying in touch with people the moment you separate from one another.
Yeah. Good. This isn't in the show notes, but it's something I just thought of. I saw something the other day that said, Facebook shows you the best of everybody's lives. Nobody writes, or most people don't write, you know, the photographs they don't like, or that things are going badly, or the things they don't want to admit to on Facebook. Facebook is like their best life. And there's another theory that says the reciprocation theory. So if you do someone a favor, they're more inclined to do a favor back to you. And if you don't know when they're going through bad times...
Because Facebook only gives you the face they want everyone to know.
Exactly.
The cool stuff.
You're not going to know when they need a favor.
Right.
And so the likelihood of you... If you want to be Machiavellian about it, the likelihood of you getting the favor back... Is it right?
Yeah, there's, you know, people accuse us of being Machiavellian about this, and we simply disagree fundamentally in much the same way that people say, well, in Mark's profile, it says people like Mark are able to manipulate people. Well, that's because some people believe that any form of persuasion is manipulation, and yet I've never manipulated anybody in my life. We're not Machiavellian at all. We do know, we will tell you now that if you engage in the behaviors we're recommending, you will have an easier life in the sense that you will be able to call on people for favors that other people can't. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, you won't be the boy who cried wolf, and when you actually yell for help, 100 people will say, yeah, I'll be happy to help. Tell me what you need. You're always there for me. You know who I am. You stay in touch with me. You keep the relationship warm. And you don't ask for very much. You're constantly giving. Is there any way I can help? This is the fundamental principle of human relationships. Give, 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 give. And give to as many people as you possibly can. And it is amazing to me that people say, oh, you're just doing that in order to get something later. No. We know we will get something later, but... We're not doing it in order to get that. Our motives are pure. I want to help you. I want to maintain a relationship with you because I want to be able to help you when you need help.
Yeah.
You say it's not Machiavellian, and yet, you know, people will accuse you of that. And folks, that's okay. Look in the mirror. If you're not doing it for selfish reasons, if you genuinely want to help other people, then this is a perfect cast for you because you'll have plenty of people to help. And then when you finally need help, everybody will stand at your door and say, of course, what do you need us to do?
Yeah.
Okay. Now you said... Facebook is not the way, but LinkedIn, yeah.
LinkedIn, yeah. We're not going to go back on our previous guidance. You do need to be on LinkedIn. So the social networks, of which LinkedIn is one, is not enough to develop or continue a relationship. You can't keep that relationship at 80 using LinkedIn.
Right.
But it is the de facto business network medium right now in 2013. Right. And having all your classmates on your network in LinkedIn gives you access to their network and more opportunities in the future. So you probably wouldn't approach someone in their network that cold, but you would be able to see who they're connected to you. And if you still have a great relationship in 5 years, then one of your contacts might be useful, and LinkedIn is how you would find that out. The number of times you say to me, oh, I've got this friend, he's a CEO somewhere, and you were classmates, and it was a while ago.
Yeah.
And you know, they've got some pretty cool jobs now, and
yeah.
you could get some pretty cool favors.
Well, I tell the story about my roommate twice at West Point, John Hoffman. John was my first client. And I remember very clearly after getting fired and starting my consulting firm thinking I should have stayed in better touch with my friends. Mm-hmm. Now, John and I had stayed in a little bit of touch, more so than some of my other friends. And so therefore, he and I had talked recently. And so therefore, when I reached out to him, he said, sure, I have budget. Come to work for me. I'll be your first client. And I think back to the feeling I had of knowing that some people I was asking favors for, or not asking favors, attempting to sell them using my services. And because of the coldness of the relationship, I was sweating the fact that they had two leaps to get over. One was, I don't remember you that well, or you expect something from me, but you really haven't given anything to me, Mark. You haven't worked on this relationship, so I don't really owe you anything. And then the second part is, and, oh, by the way, are you good enough? Do you have a service that's of interest to me? And in my case, the reason I'm a consultant, I'm absolutely certain of it, is my first client was John Hoffman, whom I had stayed in touch with. And if there had been LinkedIn, I mean, I check people's LinkedIn accounts every day. I'm in LinkedIn every day looking at things that have happened. I don't really like all the updates. Oh, all these mm-hmm. people got new jobs and everything else. I want to turn all those off. But I know I can find out whether or not John's got a different job, or whether Mike Sinders, another classmate of mine, has got a different job, what they're doing and so on. And I can reach out and say, hey, this looks like something different. What's going on? And having some passive knowledge and turning that into activity, it's the activity that maintains the relationship, not the knowledge. That's a huge point, guys. Activity is what maintains relationships, not knowledge of other people.
Okay. That's a tweetable.
Oh. Yeah, that is a tweetable thing, isn't it? Yeah. Good. Another social media bit. LinkedIn and Twitter and Facebook all in the same cast.
Tweetable, exactly. And the way LinkedIn works is it works from the network effect. So the more people you're connected to, yep. the more benefit you get from it. So start now and, you know, keep adding people as you go through your career.
Good. And then the last piece, what we've been alluding to this whole time, is Facebook doesn't really work. You need to be on Facebook. I think most people are. And certainly we highly recommend LinkedIn, professionally speaking. But then again, you've got to turn that passivity, that knowledge, into activity, and that means keeping in touch personally.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's easy to add someone to Facebook and comment on their photos every now and again and feel like you're keeping in touch, and that's not keeping
Yeah, but
in
do
touch.
People sit around going, oh, these 17 people commented on my photos? No,
no
they don't. No,
you're
they
right,
don't. No, there's no way they do. So if you think you're doing something with that person by commenting on their photos when there are 34 other people doing it, no, you're doing nothing. You're just a face in the crowd.
Yeah.
And that's not the definition of friend, is a face in the crowd, or the person who's liking my photos. That's not the definition of a friend.
Nor can you let yourself off if you just occasionally send round robin updates to all the people in your life, or that Christmas note at Christmas, that long email that goes to 50 of your closest friends once a year.
Please, can I? Is there an email setting in Outlook or in Gmail that I could turn those off once a year? At a holiday or whatever, I want to tell you everything that's happened in my family in the year. I mean, am I supposed to be reading those? Is that? I mean, maybe I'm the first confessor. I don't read those things. I don't. From families I'm close to. I don't. Oh, this person did this and this. You know, if I knew it during the year, I don't need to read it.
Yeah.
If I didn't know it during the year, I don't want to read it. It's a really bifurcating kind of thing. It's like, I don't know, so why would I want to know, right? And it was stunning to me. And what you say is clearly the most important thing. The reason why people don't keep in touch personally is because it requires effort. It's the whole active versus passive, yep.
It is. Okay, so keeping in touch means adding all your classmates to a contact list and setting yourself the task like once every 3 months of sending them an email. Not everybody on the same day.
Right.
Spread them out over the 3 months and ask how they are and tell them a little bit about what's going on with you. It doesn't need to be anything long. It doesn't need to be anything complicated. We've got a couple of casts on keeping in touch, which just say, you can literally just write, I was thinking about you today.
Well,
I went past the Starbucks and thought of you.
How many people do you think have heard Mike or I, specifically me, in a podcast that's listened to by hundreds of thousands of people each week? How many people have heard me say, total number, have heard me say, please reach out, stay in touch with me, I'll be happy to hear.
Half a million
or a million?
Yeah, absolutely.
How many people over the last 8 years of Manager Tools and Career Tools have stayed in touch with me? have made it a habit.
Less than 25.
I think 10. 10 out of 500,000 or a million. It's literally, it's free territory, guys. It's like the government giving away land. You can be the guy. That's all you have to do. It's a short note saying, hey, Mark, how's it going? Just wanted to update you on things. Hope things are well with you and your family. And probably over time, you'll learn my kids' names, and we might never meet. And when I get a request from you that maybe we've only exchanged 10 or 12 emails over that period of time, and I get 400 emails a day, and your request goes to the top of my list. Yeah. I'll forward it on to a friend and say, I have somebody I've known for a couple of years, good person, stays in touch, professional. I've seen their LinkedIn thing. They're kind of connected to you in their industry. Why don't you take a look at them? And now, that may or may not turn into an interview, but at that point, if you had everybody you knew being willing to make at least one referral to you, your job searches would last a week.
It would be done.
Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So again, what Wendy's saying is you have a contact list. Now, I happen to, you know, for a long time, I used Microsoft Outlook, and we're famous for the Control Shift K, which creates a task. And you say, stay in touch with Wendy Lord, and then Control G, which creates a recurrence. And whatever recurrence it is, every 3 months, every 4 months is plenty of time, is enough refractory period that it's starting to go cold and it's not so frequent that you end up being deluged. At one point, I was opening up Outlook and had 80 people a day to stay in touch with.
Oh, wow.
And I did. You know, it took me an hour and a half every day. And that's why the company stayed good for years and years and years when I was a small shop, 10 or 15 people. Okay. So doing it regularly. Good. I'm sorry I interrupted. Took us on a little tangent there.
That's all right. So yeah, you have to do it regularly. You have to do it at regular intervals of 3 or 4 months. One, because it's really good to get in the habit now.
When you have less people to keep track of.
Yeah. And your life will only get busier if you get a job and a family and all those things.
Yep.
And second, you have more to write about if you write more often. So I did this little mind experiment. If you called someone today and told them about last week, you'd have a lot to tell them about. You might have a final on Monday and work on Wednesday and that odd customer and a great party on Friday. But if you think about the last 3 months, the things last week aren't more than blips on the radar and compared with the one big thing that happened in the last 3 months. So you have to find bigger things to talk about the longer
which
the
most
period
people
is.
Which most people in not really wanting to be building their network don't really think there's anything that fabulous that's that big. And so they end up not reaching out because they don't have anything to share.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas if you do it every 3 months, 3 or 4 months, there's usually something that's happened that'll kind of come to your memory.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's the little things I find. When I lived in Germany, my mum wrote to me every week because back then there wasn't email. I'm really old. And so there wasn't email, and she would write to me every week, and she would tell me really weird things like it rained or my dad was cutting the grass and it was growing really fast or something, you know, little tiny things. And it's those little things that keep us kind of human and in touch with each other.
It's verisimilitude. It's a sense of actual realness, of truthfulness that yes, this is actually someone's life. Cause I know that's my life too. I have things like rain and mowing the grass where I live as well. And that's normal stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. And so the longer the period of time, the harder it is to mention those small things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And this simply boils down to what we're telling you folks is don't make the mistake that Wendy and I and 99.99999% of the world has done since the beginning of time of graduating with a bunch of people you're very close to, probably at least 100, maybe 200 to 300, and losing touch with them in some fashion. Take advantage of the modern technology of email that allows you to stay in touch with them. You probably have their email addresses. Put it into a system. Won't take you but one weekend of your life. 20 years later, it'll be the most valuable weekend you ever spent. And set up a system where when new people come into your life, you capture their email, their phone number, and you're periodically reaching out to them on a regular basis. Make it a systemic part of your young professional life. It's a bit like the time value of money. It'll pay you huge dividends. I tell my daughter, Kate, you know, just live on 90% of what you make after you take out taxes and put 10% of what you make away, and you're gonna have so much money for your retirement, you won't have to worry about it. Yeah. Whether there's a pension or not for you, just live on a little bit less. And when you're young, you can do that. Well, take a little less time for fun, take a little bit of time for investing in the future, maintain those relationships, set up a system, maintain those relationships, and we'll all be working for you someday. You'll be a billionaire.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're not going to rely on Facebook. Nope. We're definitely going to be on LinkedIn because it's a professional way you can keep track of things. But the key thing is we're going to turn our relationships from a passive point of view, which I think Facebook has added to the sense that passive is okay. And we're going to make it active. We're going to reach out to people and stay in touch with them. And we're going to reap the dividends later.
Absolutely. So you won't regret not doing, won't regret doing this, and you will absolutely regret not doing it. And it's not, one of the things you'll learn pretty soon is it's not the things that we don't do that we regret. It is the things that we don't do that we regret. You'll regret not being there for your classmates.
I think that's an interesting point. You will regret not being there for your classmates. You might be thinking, oh, I'm going to regret the fact, like Mark said, that some of his network was cold. Actually, you're going to regret more that you didn't stay in touch and you couldn't help somebody that you knew that had you known, had you stayed in touch with them, you could have referred them to a doctor that they needed. You could have helped them with a situation where they needed some cash or a business connection, whatever it might be. You're going to regret. Part of the regrets of not staying in touch are the things you don't get to do as favors, as help for other people. Not just the benefit to you, although there's a benefit to you in helping other people as well.
True. And we regret not knowing the joy at their marriages and the birth of their children. And more people in your life gives you a richer life, even the introverts amongst us.
Yep.
So your classmates are your best friends right now. Don't lose it.
Don't lose it. Thanks, everybody. Come back next week. We'll have another great Career Tools cast. Until then, take care.